to TSPN, and today is the day of TTPD. Oh my goodness, the Tortured Poets Department.
I'm losing my mind.
April 19th, 2024. Oh my gosh, what a day. It's Christmas morning.
Yes, it is Christmas morning, but as you guys know how the internet works, this is not a live recording. So we did actually have to record this episode before listening to TTPD, but do not worry. We have a really special guest today. We have a lot to talk about, and we are just as excited to celebrate that it's April 19th with you, even though we are filming this way ahead of April 19th. So we are actually in South Carolina together as Tortured Poets comes out. So by the time you're listening to this, we've probably made one pass and started recording reactions. And so we will get that content up for you on the various channels as we're ready. So definitely stay tuned, because we will obviously do our due diligence of a full episode where we give you our real thought out reactions, as well as having snippets of content of us listening to it for the first time together. We'll be with other creators. Ty, the correspondent, will be with us, as well as some other Swift Talk creators that you know and love. And so definitely stay tuned for that. But for today's episode, we did invite on a dear friend and fellow Swift Talker, also a podcaster, KJ Miller. So if you don't know KJ, she will tell her full story of how she became a Swiftie and how she became known on Swift Talk. But we thought this would be a really exciting guest for today, just knowing that it's her first album release with Taylor, and just some of the excitement around how it feels for a new Swiftie to be experiencing this. And so without further ado, I will kick it over to our interview with KJ. However, I do want to note that Jessie had a doctor's appointment, and so she was a little bit absent for just the very beginning. So you'll see her or hear her pop on kind of midway through in the beginning. Just ignore that. We're just kind of making it work here. Absolutely excited to welcome KJ. So we're just going to kick over to that interview now, and we'll catch you on the flip side. Welcome, KJ. Thank you for joining us on TSPN.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. So a little bit of background for our listeners. So KJ is somebody that I invited to be on our podcast before we even launched. You were just like easy, like, absolutely, we need this girl on our podcast, just because of your journey through TikTok. And you were really blowing up around that time with the Swiftieverse, right?
Mm-hmm.
So didn't really know when we would bring you on. But what was really exciting was when Jessie and I were talking about the April 19th episode, and knowing that we're not superheroes and we can't, you know, record our reactions and edit and get a podcast live within that same day. We wanted to still have an episode for our listeners that was, you know, focused on Swifties, focused on Tortured Poets, but also, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with the album.
Right.
So we were like, KJ's a perfect guest just because of your background and your journey with Swiftieism. And then we could talk a little bit about the excitement around Tortured Poets. But first, go ahead and tell us a little bit about how you got here into Swiftieland.
Yeah, of course. Well, thank you again for having me. And yeah, the journey to the Swifterhood has been so interesting. It really started in December of last year for me when my husband and I rented the Eras Tour on Amazon. And I was not a big Taylor Swift fan. I guess I really don't think you could call me a fan at all. I liked her enough. You know, I liked enough of her songs, but I really wasn't a fan. And in fact, in another life, I was actually a Taylor Swift hater, and I have made content about that.
Yep.
But I graduated out of being a hater. I just was like, you know, peripheral, very much on the periphery of the Swifterhood. But I watched the tour because I just sort of felt, honestly, like FOMO, just like it was so big. Like 2023 was the year of Taylor Swift and the year of the Eras Tour. And I sort of felt left out. So I was like, oh, let's just rent it. Let's just put it on. It took us a couple days to watch because it is quite long.
Yeah, it is.
But, you know, I enjoyed it. I definitely thought it was a feat. Like, I was definitely impressed by the feat of Eras. But there was one song in particular that just, like, for whatever reason, just, like, grabbed me by the heartstrings. and that was Champagne Problems. And while she was playing it, I was like, I kind of like this song. Yeah, I kind of like this. And then the next day, I played it and just was like sobbing listening to it. And then I kept listening to it and kept crying. And so finally I made a video, because at that point I was trying to build up my TikTok and I just had committed to posting every day. I didn't have like a content strategy. It was just like, whatever comes to mind, post it. And so on that day I was in my car picking up my daughter from daycare. I was like in the parking lot about to go pick her up, and I just whipped out my phone and made a video saying, I'm not a Swiftie and I don't really know any Swifties, but every time I listen to Champagne Problems, I cry. So I would love it if the Swifties could tell me if that's normal. And that video just kind of blew up. And so many Swifties responded saying, like, it is normal. This is how it happens. Basically, you are a Swiftie now. Welcome.
Yeah, no turning back. No turning back.
Exactly. And that's exactly what it was. There was no turning back. And then I just started going down the rabbit hole, and I didn't listen to specific albums, which I think was a little bit frustrating to some of the people kind of following along on TikTok. I just listened to songs based on sometimes based on what people would tell me, like, hey, you should listen to this song. Sometimes based on just looking at her, you know, massive list of songs and picking one at random. I just kind of like, yeah, just let myself be free in the journey and realized, oh, I love this woman. So it's been fun. It's been really fun.
Yeah, no, I remember that time whenever you were posting and just kind of like grabbing random songs, because I even made a stitch, I think, to one of your videos and was like, guys, send her good, so like songs that like will not cause you PTSD, because the amount, like, I think you did like, you did Woulda, Coulda, Shoulda, Tolerate It, Champagne Problems. Like, I just remember you were just day after day listening to new Taylor songs. And I loved your lyrical analysis of all of that. Here she comes.
Hi, KJ.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, I'm better now that I'm home. I was there right at 8 when they opened and they didn't have my orders. So they had to call my doctor and call back. And I'm like, oh my gosh, seriously, it's just blood draw.
Yeah. You're like, just put it in a tube and send it where you need to send it. All right. So yeah, KJ, like I was saying, I feel like early on those videos, you were doing such a great job with like the lyrical analysis of all of that. And Jesse also was an early follower of yours. And so, yeah, it's been interesting. And tell us a little bit about kind of how that felt, you know, blowing up on TikTok for Swiftieism. I know you already had quite a following, I believe, but really the tailored content to Taylor was probably a little bit new.
It's been so great and so unexpected. I will say, yeah, I think when I started posting, I had something like 30,000 followers. Yeah. Now I've got, I think, like 78,000. And the difference that Taylor Swift made was in that first 30 versus the next, call it 40, was just how quickly it happened. You know, it took me a year to get to 30,000 followers. And then I think it took me, you know, 3 months to get to 70,000. And 100% it was because of the Swifties, because Taylor just has, I mean, she's just so impactful, you know, that even the people who are just talking about her music are able to really connect and have their own impact, which I find so amazing. Just like I think the Taylor Swift ecosystem is really amazing. And what I've loved about it is I've felt really, it's just felt like a really warm embrace in a lot of ways. And I've talked about this a bit on my own podcast and just also in private, that I was going through a really tough 2023. And so I feel like I found her music and her music found me at the exact right time. And it just honestly, like, it felt nice to be able to just be whatever emotion I was, which most of the time was sad, be whatever emotion I was when listening to her music and like really let myself be in it. And then it also felt very cathartic to share that via TikTok. And so it was really nice seeing how many people were like, yeah, I can relate. and I can understand. And I don't know. So it's been quite the journey. I certainly didn't expect it. And what I've also just been really happy about is that so many of the people who have been willing to follow me on this journey have also been willing to accept that I talk about more than Taylor Swift, as much as I love her. You know, I talk about all things pop culture. I talk about business a lot of the time. I talk about Beyonce a lot. So I've just appreciated that people have been willing to be on the journey with me.
Yeah. Well, and you do such a great job in your videos. I remember really early on, I think it was woulda, coulda, shoulda, maybe, where I remember showing it to my husband because you were in your little PJs. Like, I love the PJs that you wear. And you were like, I'm gonna listen. You put your headphones in and you like curled up under your covers and you looked at your husband and were like, this song is really important and I'm gonna need some quiet time or something of that nature. Yeah, and I remember showing that to my husband because I'm like, every Swiftie husband knows that like when an album comes out, like we are unwell. We are not going to be ourselves. Things are going to be weird. And so this obviously is coming out on April 19th. So shout out to all the Swiftie significant others out there, because it's going to be a rough weekend probably.
It is. My husband knows if he hears Reputation coming from my bedroom or my bathroom to leave me the fuck alone. Like, don't even talk to me. Something's going on. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah,
love that.
We can all relate. And my husband, to his credit, he's just been so down for the ride. I don't know that we can call him a Swiftie yet, but he's very Swiftie adjacent. You know, he's like, he supports, he's down for the ride. He's like, I love that you love this. And so I'm good with that.
Yeah. Well, and you told that story about Begin Again being one that he already knew or sang along to and how special that was, because it's so funny, like what deep cuts our husbands did know before us, because it's not just the Shake It Offs, but they, you know, I know for my husband specifically, I don't think he listened to lyrics before him and I started dating. Like, we would talk about music and he's like, oh, I just like the beat of it. I'm not really like listening to it. And I think that's really the key to becoming a Swiftie. And you've said this in your Beyonce for Swiftie series, which we'll talk about here in a second, but just the difference between why people are really drawn to Taylor and why they're drawn to Beyonce and other artists alike, because Beyonce is more of a performer and the performance art of it all is such a big piece of it. And you have to understand that and embrace that. Whereas with Taylor, it really comes down to the writing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think I didn't realize that about Taylor. I think like a lot of people, there was sort of this gap in my Taylor understanding and knowledge, right? Like when she came on the scene and had the bops that we all knew, the like You Belong With Me and Shake It Offs. And that was great. And that was fun.
Yep.
To now, right? She still has the bops. She still can make a bop like no one else. But she also has whole albums of like just straight up poetry, basically. And so I just had this big gap. I hadn't really paid attention in between then and now. So yeah, coming into it feeling kind of fresh, I think has also been really nice, because I'm getting every facet of Taylor sort of all at once. And that's just been really exciting for me.
Yeah, I think it's part of what's attractive too for people who are on TikTok who maybe have been Swifties for a long time, finding creators like you who are just now discovering it. And it's almost like vicariously living through that experience again. And just watching you kind of discover those things is really exciting. I'm still waiting for you to listen to Fearless. I know I sent you some Fearless songs that you need to listen to.
You did. And I start, because you sent it to me, I started to listen. And I think I made it through, call it 4 or 5 tracks. And I did like it. I could tell, like, okay, this album is not going to have a hold on me, but I did like it. But I haven't finished it yet.
Yeah, I think knowing how you love the heartbreak songs and just to be torn apart inside, I was like, Breathe, White Horse, like, yeah. You're not sorry, just things like that, because Fearless is kind of a mixed bag and they've got a ton of vault tracks that came out too that even I don't necessarily think I've, you know, glued onto each of them.
Fearless was one of the ones that got me right away. So the song White Horse was the first like deep cut from her that really got me to my core. I mean, like White Horses. And she just did that on tour with Sabrina Carpenter, and they did a duet, and it was absolutely gorgeous. Mm. But yeah, I don't know. I'm always in like a fearless mood in the spring. I was just listening to that in the car. Like, I'm just I love that album in the spring for some reason.
Well, now we're about to get depression in the spring. Like, seasonal depression is about to shift the tides, man.
I'm scared.
It's not going to be good.
I'm scared about this album.
Yeah, I'm so excited for it, but I am also nervous because it feels like now that she dropped those playlists, first of all, the track listing was already giving, you know, a little bit of depression. Mm-hmm. Then when she dropped the playlist and the theme was grief, I was like, okay, girl, what? Like, we're just going all in on the sadness. And so I feel like a part of her gave us the playlist to just prepare ourselves emotionally. Like, yes, this is what it is. So yep. Get yourself together, get ready, do what you have to do. So yeah, I'm feeling a little nervous because I don't like you said, it's spring. Spring is rebirth. Spring is, you know, like, and I, who knows?
Well, and Red has kind of gone down as the ultimate breakup album, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, breakup song after breakup song after breakup. It's a very cathartic album to listen to if you are going through something. But this is going to top it by a million, like take it times, you know, whatever, because essentially, Red at the core was about her relationship with Jake Gyllenhaal, which lasted mm-hmm. about 3 or 4 months. She mm-hmm. was with Joe Alwyn for 6 damn years.
Yeah.
So can you imagine the deep cuts that she is going to have on this album?
No, I really can't. And I'm glad I'm here with you guys because I've been thinking about this 6-year relationship. And as a newer Swiftie, maybe you can confirm something for me, mm-hmm. particularly now that we have these playlists. It feels like she spent Reputation kind of falling in love with this man.
Yep.
But then every album since, I feel like based on what she said in these playlists, it was not a smooth 6 years. It was a rocky 6 years. Like, it was a up and down, in and out. Maybe there were some breakups we didn't know about sort of thing. It's just, it's giving tumultuous. But what do you guys think?
So I think that at first it was very much painted as a picture of he is her muse, right? Mm-hmm. Good or bad, he has been her muse for the mm-hmm. last so many albums. Lover came out and you really, the first time you listen to that a couple times, you really feel like, oh my gosh, this is a 100% love album. Like, she's head over heels. But now going back, you can see where there's been gaps, where maybe something's happened, where maybe they've taken breaks. And until Tortured Poets and until they broke up, I wasn't really listening for that because I thought they were just like endgame, right? Mm-hmm. Another thing that's really significant in those albums like Folklore, Evermore, Midnights is the loss of her work, her masters. Mm-hmm. So I think that if anything, that could have caused some rifts in that relationship. I don't know how it couldn't, because that was all consuming for her.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Well,
and I think the masters being lost and her fight to get them back, which we're doing a whole series on right now, we're kind of slow rolling that out.
Right.
And I feel as though a lot of songs that you can look back now and think, oh, that could have been about Joe. At the time, it's like, well, this must be about the loss of her work. You know, the heartbreak, the Great War, mm-hmm. the even My Tears Ricochet. Like, a lot of those we still think are probably about Scott Borchetta, who also broke her heart. He was mm-hmm. Big Machine Records, like, CEO or whatever, and discovered her. And he kind of left her out to dry right around the 2019 time, which is when Lover came out. But I do agree with you, KJ. I think what was interesting was, you know, obviously Reputation had the falling in love of tracks. So like that mm-hmm. was kind of normal to hear those and then be very like almost like the anxious attachment style of, you know, that excitement of, yeah. you know, just meeting someone. And I was actually saying this on our last episode because my husband and I started dating right around when Lover started. And I remember relating so closely to those songs in the early stages of love in a relationship mm-hmm. and thinking, mm-hmm. why is she writing this 3 years in? Like, it felt weird that like the songs that she was writing felt very like not immature, but you know how like you even talked about this on your TikTok about Lover and some mm-hmm. of the, you know, can I go where you go and stuff like mm-hmm. that, being like, oh, that is lovely, but that's early. It's not deep in a relationship. So there were signs, but it was just kind of one of those things where unless we knew otherwise, we weren't going to assume anything was wrong.
Right. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, I think it's just key when I look back that I think that good or bad, he was just her muse. Like he was 100% her muse. And whatever that generated from her, anxiety, love songs, sad songs, I mean, it just did, you know. But we're going to find out. Oh, girl, we're going to find out. April 19th. We're going to find out what went down.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. And you know what? I posed a question. I was on TikTok Live last week and I posed a question, which I was like, I feel safe asking this here because I'm among my community and I feel safe saying it here as well, which was, you know, Folklore and Evermore. I'm definitely a Folklore Evermore girly. I think those are my favorites. And I feel like we got a side of Taylor that I loved so much on both of those albums. And I wondered aloud, with Joe being credited as a writer on both of those albums, now that they've broken up, does that mean we're never going to get that side of Taylor again? And what's funny is so many people on my live said, I don't even really believe he wrote those songs.
Yeah, Jesse and I are split on that one too.
Yeah, I'm a little split. I'm very much in the camp that he did write with those with her. And he is William Bowery. Just because I don't think that she would like blatantly lie to us about who's being credited and that it was Joe, and that he talked about, you know, how he came up with the name William Bowery. William was his grandfather. Bowery was the part of New York that he used to stay in when he first started acting. But yeah, like, are you saying that you don't, with Joe out of the picture, you don't know if we'll get a Folklore Evermore type of style again?
That's what I wonder / worry, because I feel like Midnights was a real departure in a lot of ways from what we got. Mm-hmm. And on the one hand, I'm like, that's good. That's great. Artists should evolve, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to get another Lemonade either. I think Beyonce has evolved. At the same time, I love that sort of like folk part of Taylor so much that I would love to get a bit more of it. I'm not saying we need a whole nother album, right? And I just worry like, oh, was that just like a foregone era and the era's gone, you know?
Okay, so even let's take Joe out of the picture. The reason we got Folklore and Evermore was because of Aaron Dessner. Aaron Dessner was the producer, co-writer on a lot of those songs. Even take Jack out of the picture, because Jack mm-hmm. was wonderful and he was credited on some of those too. But it was at its core, it was Aaron Dessner and Taylor mm-hmm. that really created that chemistry and made those folk albums. I definitely 100% think we'll see that style again.
I do too.
For sure. And I wouldn't worry about that.
Didn't she say that Aaron was like her songwriting soulmate or her musical soulmate or something like that? Yeah. Yep. And I am on the camp with William Bowery. I don't think he inspired that that genre as much as that might have just been during COVID when they were spending more time together. And my opinion, KJ, is there could be songs that he's credited on where maybe he wrote a line or two and it wasn't mm-hmm. like, I don't imagine that they were kumbaya on the piano together writing every single piece of each of those songs. I mean, I could be wrong and maybe for one or two there were, but I also think she is very proud of, like, with Speak Now, she wrote every single song in Speak Now without a single co-writer. And so I think that she has a lot of integrity behind crediting people when they contribute, even if it's in a small way. And so I'm choosing to think that maybe some of those are smaller than others. But I don't know why I said I choose that. He's the smallest man that ever lived, as far as I know right now, until the Tortured Poets Department comes out and we know what that song is actually about.
I could see William Bowery being credited on a song or two from Tortured Poets if he had something to do with it prior, and that would be petty as fuck. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, that would be the ultimate Taylor move.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you guys said that, because I had forgotten Aaron Dess Aaron Dessner or Dressner?
Yep. Dessner. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're probably right that he's more responsible in terms of being her real co-writing partner. And I think I agree with you, Anna. I feel like in my mind, Joe was involved on those songs, but he was not in any way primary on those songs. Like almost a little bit like she was writing it. And as she was writing, he was there and sort of said like, oh, and what if you said blank and maybe filled in the blank a few times here and there. And she was like, I like that. Yes, that's good. And like you said, she you know, is truthful when it comes to her songwriting credits. So gave him credit. But that's what I'm sort of choosing to believe. And that's why I'm hoping that means we will get more of that style at some point.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Travis Kelce ever shows up because he even jokes about not being able to read. You know, he's just a little bit more layered in the humility there, and it would be interesting.
Yeah, Travis Kelce, I will just say, seems like such a fun, nice guy. I think if he ends up being her forever person, great, love that. But also at the same time, if he ends up just being what's right for her for this season, I would also understand that because he just seems like a real departure from the other men that she's dated. He's not taking himself too seriously. He's willing to be goofy. He's clearly willing to put her first and is very clear about how she is the mm-hmm. catch in this relationship. You know, I don't know. Like, I love watching them. It just looks like she's happy and having fun. And I love that for her, whether he ends up being her forever person or not.
Yeah. Well, he's at least setting an example of somebody who is, you know, she said things like, not, you know, you can't put me in your top five, things like that, like lyrics that have kind of indicated that she felt less than in previous relationships, even beyond Joe. And so it's exciting to see somebody like really give her 100% and make her number one. And to your point, if it doesn't work out, at least it happened for a season. My favorite thing with Jesse and I, when we first started kind of becoming friends and like figuring out like how much we could trust each other, was when she'd just gone through the Maddie Healy shit. And then there was the rumors of Travis Kelce, and Jesse's like, I don't even care. It's fuck boy fall apparently or something. And I remember being like, oh yeah, no, it's definitely fuck boy fall. But Travis Kelce has turned out to probably be a little bit, you know, more serious than that. Mm-hmm, but we were like, oh, okay, Taylor, whatever you want to do. But yeah, he's a good golden retriever for her. That's for sure. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. In bringing up Maddie Healy, I do believe there will be some songs about him on Tortured Poets.
Ooh, yikes. Yeah. That is a chapter I try not to think about because, oh, God, the things that he said, the vibes that he gives, I'm like, really, Taylor? This is really?
Yeah, it was a short, hard time to be a Swiftie. I think that when it came to like how little time that took up in 2023 versus like my memory of it, it feels like it was a much longer relationship. And when we did the 2023 recap, I was like, shit, that was like a flash in the pan, but the fallout of it was really big.
Yeah.
They just had so much history though prior to it. Like they'd been friends for like 10 years before they actually like started dating. And you know, Jack Antonoff works very closely with Maddie Healy in the 1975. And I think what happened was that the 1975 came out with an album right around midnight. So they were all in the studio, the same studio all the time. And I think it just kind of happened. How serious was it? I don't know, but I do think something is going to reflect on it on Tortured Poets.
Yeah. Oof. Well, you know, that's an L she's just going to have to take. Because yikes. But yeah. Hopefully not too much of the album is dedicated to that man, if any.
Yeah. Yeah. The I Can Change Him or I Can Fix Him song, maybe The Smallest Man That Ever Lived. There's some song titles that could. But yeah, obviously, by the time we're launching this episode and you guys are listening, you're going to know. So we're either right or we're wrong. Well, let's real quick talk a little bit about the Grammys and the rollout, because knowing that you're a new Swiftie, like, were you watching the Grammys whenever she announced? Like, tell us about that experience for you.
Yes, I was. And what an exciting moment to get the announcement live when we were not expecting it. Based on what everyone in the Swifterhood was saying, I was like, okay, we might get something about Reputation tonight, because that's what everyone was talking about. We might get Rep TV. And then when she said, I'm releasing a new album and I'm going to go backstage and, you know, post about it, my jaw was on the floor. And I almost felt like, wait, what do we do? In fact, that is how I felt, because I remember I posted on TikTok. I was like, what do we do? What do we do? Yeah. I've never been in this position. What do we do now? Do we prepare? Is there some sort of boot camp to get ready? Like, I wasn't ready for that. And I love that I got to experience it live as a Swiftie with the rest of the Swifties being like, oh my God. And also I just was in shock because, like, ma'am, you have been on tour for months and months and months and months. When did you write this album? When did you write it? When did you record it? When did you edit it? When did you, when did you pose for these photo shoots? When? So it's just, it's all blowing my mind.
There was no protocol. This was not a normal situation. I mean, she kind of announced Midnights in the same way at the VMAs in 2022. But yeah, no, this was a totally different thing. I didn't hear from Jessie for like 24 hours. And I just knew that was like normal. I was like, she's fine, but she's not fine. But like, whatever, she'll come back out of it.
Yeah, I straight up disappeared. Like I heard the announcement. I was in shock. I did not understood what I just, because I had predicted on TikTok that she was going to announce Rep and release it on April 19th. I had the date right.
Yeah. Now, why did you, what gave you that date?
Girl, I have no idea. It was like a gut feeling. I just felt like
it was the day that Joe Alwyn was unfollowed by like her friends in 2023. She went out to dinner with like Blake and Ryan. And then after that dinner, they unfollowed. So that was April 19th. And then it was National like Poetry Day, which is ironic because we didn't know the poetry thing. You just were like, this is interesting. And then there was another thing.
And I just had the album wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, what happened, I guess, real quick. So I had predicted TS11 Midnights, right? And everyone gave me so much TS10 Midnights. I predicted that and everyone gave me so much shit for it because everyone said she will not put out a new album during the re-records. And I was like, but I feel like she's gonna. And then she did. So like when she made that announcement at the VMAs, I was so excited. I was hyped up. I was like, I think I told Anna last night, I was like throwing things. I like jumped from my couch to my chair. Like I was like insane. But I was not expecting the tortured poets department to come out of her mouth at the Grammys. I froze for like 24 hours. I got off all social media. I'm a true Aquarius. I just got into my bed and tried to process.
I love that.
It was crazy. There is no protocol for these things. Like it is.
No. Yeah.
Well, and I'm such an extrovert that it's like I need to know how other people are doing and thinking and feeling and expressing. And that sort of helps me express. And so I immediately was like on TikTok. I was like, what are people saying? What's happening? What's happening? It's like I needed to absorb all of it because that's just sort of how I process things is with other people. And so I was like, oh, okay, no, we're all in shock. All right. Okay. Now, and then the track listing, and then it was just like, there's been so much to get to absorb and consume. And I've loved that I've gotten to sort of do it in community. So it's just, it's been super fun.
Yeah. Well, and what's interesting too, so Beyonce announced her new album at the, like with the commercial, right? At the Super Bowl, correct? So that was like a week before. So like, were you, cause you're a huge Beyonce fan and you even did the Beyonce for Swifties like series. So if you guys don't follow KJ, it's I Am KJ at I Am KJ on TikTok, right?
At I Am _ KJ Miller.
Thank you. I'm just like making shit up right now. just search KJ Miller. She'll come up. No, but you have a like a playlist on your TikTok that's Beyonce for Swifties where you go through and talk about the difference. And so first off, I love that series. I think it's a great way to kind of contextualize like where if people don't follow both very wholeheartedly where there may be a discrepancy in how we interpret their music and their art. But I remember you were talking about with Beyonce, how right before Cowboy Carter had dropped, she had actually dropped kind of a note about what happened to her in country music in 2016 with the CMAs, and how the CMAs basically erased that off their socials. And mm-hmm. there was clear like racism undertones to that. Mm-hmm. And you had mm-hmm. said nothing like a woman scorn or something like that. Like Beyonce and Taylor both are very, very relational in that way of like when they are scorned, they're going to fucking throw down. And I just thought that was such a good TikTok, especially knowing that now that Cowboy Carter is out, it's phenomenal. And yeah. I think we'll win Album of the Year. I would yeah. be upset if it didn't. I haven't even heard Tortured Poets yet, but I just feel like Cowboy Carter is a lot more than just songwriting and music.
Yeah. I have been obsessed with Cowboy Carter since the moment it came out. And yeah, the way Beyonce announced it, it's just, I love when Beyonce does Beyonce. You know what I mean? I love when she's just like, I'm going to be on my Beyonce shit. You know, she got paid $35 million for that Verizon commercial. And as far as I could tell, that Verizon commercial, it didn't say nothing about Verizon. I mean, it did, but it didn't feel like it, right? Like, I certainly did not leave that commercial thinking to myself, I should sign up for Verizon. No.
No.
I thought, yes, Beyonce is back. I don't know what she's doing or when it's coming, but I know something is coming. And then, you know, minutes later, she dropped the album announcement and two singles. So it just was Beyonce being on her Beyonce shit. I love when she goes big. I love when she goes bold. I love when she's like, I'm going to do it the way no one else can do it. I'm going to get paid $35 million to announce my album. It's wild. It's wild.
I have a question. Okay. So with Beyonce, the way she rolled this out, do you agree with how she rolled it out? Because my thing was, I've never seen anything like this before where people were really shitting on it and not wanting her to drop a country album and this and that. Mm-hmm. And she had Texas Hold'em out, right? Now, mm-hmm. since the album's come out, lots of people have flipped their script and they're like, holy shit, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. Do you mm-hmm. think that she shouldn't have even released a single or... and waited for it, because you have to listen to it front mm-hmm. to back. You have to,
yeah.
or you're not going to get it.
You have to listen to the whole thing. I mean, you know, I always hesitate to say should or shouldn't when it comes to Beyonce and Taylor, because they are the geniuses.
Yeah.
But I will say, I get what you're asking, because I do think Texas Hold'em and 16 Carriages, now that I have the whole album, I can see them in context. But without the whole album, it was sort of hard to know, like, where are we going with this? You know, like, what are we going to be? What are we really up for? But I almost think there's some genius in that as well, because I think, like, Texas Hold'em is so country. Texas Hold'em is, like, old school country that I almost feel like Beyonce was like, yeah, and get ready for that. Like, just yeah. know I'm going to be as country as I want to be. And I feel like it was like, what's the word? Aggressive in that manner. And I kind of like her saying, like, I'm not hiding from you. I'm not playing these games. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And I bet you'll eat it up. And she was right, because it was number one for weeks and weeks. And, you know, I love that for her. But I do get what you're saying, because I think once you hear the whole album, you're like, oh, this actually is different from what maybe the singles made me think it was going to be. But I kind of love that. Yeah, I kind of love that.
Texas Hold'em is such a bop. Like, I just feel like until the end of time, that will be a song that you turn on and you just like, even if you're not a big country fan, you know, it is so well done. Mm-hmm. And I do agree where it's like people were probably expecting a whole album of that. And I kind of love that it's not. Like, for mm-hmm. me, like when it got to Spaghetti, I was like, fuck yeah. You know what I mean? Because it was like the way that it transitions. It's not a country album. It's a Beyonce album, as everyone mm-hmm. says. But I think Spaghetti is the one where she even talks about the genres. Like in mm-hmm. the beginning, the sound is talking mm-hmm. about how there aren't genres and all of that. And it's just such an experience. I think she did such a great job really creating an end-to-end kind of book that mm-hmm. you can listen through. And so, yeah, as far as Album of the Year goes, if she doesn't get this, then the Grammys are absolutely out to get her, because this is by far like a great album. Because even like Lemonade is a little bit sporadic with it. You know, same thing with like Red for Taylor. Mm-hmm. Like her songs were kind of sporadic. And so if they're really going after like sonically cohesive, I feel like Cabo Carter did a good job of that follow through, but
yeah. Well, I'm excited. And I will say one of the things that I loved about Beyoncé's decisions on this album was to be so much more instrument forward, which is something mm-hmm. that I love about Taylor. I am a very, very novice piano player, but I feel like I fall in love with a song even more when I can kind of like plunk it out on my piano and sing along, which is yeah. something pretty much almost Taylor's entire catalog has multiple songs with each album. You can do that too, because she doesn't have a ton of songs that are so production heavy, so synth heavy, you know, Midnights aside, where Beyoncé's entire catalog is extremely production heavy, that there aren't that many songs for me as a novice piano player that I feel like I could really sit down and interpret, because you know, for me, it's like, I just need to be able to sit down and play these chords. And yeah. Taylor has a lot of songs where it's just like, I'm playing these chords sort of over and over. And I appreciate that. Like in some ways, even though there is still a lot of production on Cowboy Carter, it is pared back. A lot more of the songs are more pared back, which is kind of giving me more Taylor, you know? So it's funny because in my podcast, I talk about how these artists influence one another, and people got real mad when I suggested that Beyoncé influences Taylor and Taylor influences Beyoncé, but I stand by it. I still think it's true.
Yeah, you are so brave on your TikToks and the some of the shit you say. I'm like, I get why people feel strongly, but it's like they do not need to, you know, just some of the things that are in the comments. And I do completely agree with you. And that's kind of the premise of your whole podcast, the two queens yeah. or two, yeah. two queens, two crowns.
Yes.
So essentially pairing up two people and two women in music who have been pitted against each other. Why don't you explain it? You're going to explain mm-hmm. it way better.
Yeah. Well, thank you. So yes, the podcast is called Two Queens, Two Crowns. And I got the idea because of my content with Taylor Swift and because of a TikTok I had made saying how I used to be a Taylor Swift hater. Because I felt like I was team Beyoncé. And if I was team Beyoncé, I couldn't be team Taylor. And so when people would bring up Taylor, I would be like, nope, Taylor's cute, but Beyoncé is where it's at. And there was just something in me that felt this need to, you know, pit these women against each other, which I think a lot of people feel that way. And it really wasn't until I sort of let go of that I started thinking like, well, I mean, in some ways, I am sure both of these women have been helped by the other person, you know, like, and I started thinking about it more and more. And I was like, yeah, I really think there's something to this. So my podcast, Two Queens, Two Crowns, we look at, you know, every episode, another duo. So we started with Beyoncé and Taylor, then we did Nicki Minaj and Cardi B. Then we did Kate Middleton and Meghan Markle. People were real mad about that.
I loved the Kate Middleton, Meghan Markle episode, but like, I was like, you are asking for the hate because people, royalists, like,
I'm a royal watcher for sure. And I mean, but it needs to be said. Like, I mean, I'm glad I know it's scary when you get out there and you put out content that can be attacked. I just did it.
Yep.
I just put out a TikTok last night that is very, very, I guess, controversial. I don't know how to say it. And I've done it before, mm-hmm. but I don't do it very often.
Yeah. But
yeah, it's, I mean, I don't know. It's back to the, real quick, back to the production and the musical mm-hmm. and how you said you can play piano to it. So I'm much more of like a lyrical analysis person. That's my wheelhouse. That's why I love mm-hmm. your videos when you talk about lyrical analysis, because I feel like mm-hmm. I could talk about that all day long.
Yeah.
But when I learn the instruments and what's used for a song, I see it in a different light, and it's even better. Have you heard Carolina by Taylor?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't heard it. What album is that one on?
It's not on an album. So it's from it's from Where the Crawdads Sing. It was a book turned into a movie.
Okay.
And did you see the movie at all or read the book?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
So, me neither, girl. That doesn't make you less of a Swiftie. I haven't seen it.
No. But essentially, it takes place in like the South in like the 1940s, 1950s-ish, mm-hmm. and out in like the swamp, like the bayou. Like, I mean, it's, yeah. So anyway, Taylor had read the book and wanted to create a song for it. Went to Aaron Dessner. So it's very Folklore Evermore. So I think you'll like
it. Yeah, you'll like it.
You'll like it. But when mm-hmm. I found out that all the instruments they used were instruments from the 1940s. And they did it in one take.
Love those.
It took it to a whole other level for me.
So you'll listen to that.
Let me know what you think.
I will. Okay.
Well, amazing. And we think Carolina maybe, obviously, by the time everyone listens to this, you'll know. But we think Carolina may be part of the theme because the Guiltiest Sin song title is a lyric from Carolina. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Very interesting. Well, yeah, I will for sure listen to that. And I definitely agree with you on the lyric piece. And on the controversy piece, I will say I didn't expect when I launched Two Crowns for it to be as controversial as it has been, because the whole premise is like every episode I try to build a case for how these women are helping one another. And so I don't ever even say anything negative about these women, but you would swear just the implication that like Cardi B helped Nicki Minaj. Oh, the Barbs. Oh, they're so angry. Or the implication that Megan somehow helped Kate Middleton. Oh, the Royalists. Oh, they're like, oh, absolutely not. How dare you? So yeah, it's a much more controversial podcast than I thought it would be when I came up with it.
Well, you guys do such a great job, though, too, even with your co-host, Adrian. I love the setup of it and the way that you kind of like inform and she reacts. And if you guys have not caught it, definitely go follow it on like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening to ESPN. Two Queens, Two Crowns definitely is, because you guys release on Thursdays. We release on Fridays. So this is like a perfect marriage of such. If you guys are ESPN listeners, to go also listen to Two Queens, Two Crowns, because then you can get kind of double dose of content. And I do like you. I think Brittany and Christina is next, correct? So maybe by the time it might be up by the time we release this.
Yeah, it'll definitely be up.
Yeah, so lots of good content there. And then, of course, you did a full, like, Cowboy Carter episode kind of reactions and stuff like that. So just really good pop culture. It's very adjacent to what we do, not just Taylor-specific, though.
Yeah. Well, okay, so what are your plans for listening to TTPD?
Oh, man. Well, I think it's going to be similar to Beyonce. I'm not the person who can stay up till midnight. I'm just not. My daughter's up at 6 every morning. So I'm going to wake up and immediately start listening and then take my daughter to daycare and then keep listening and kind of just like spend that morning really letting the songs wash over me. And then I'll probably go live like I did for Cowboy Carter on TikTok that day. So I think the Cowboy Carter release, I went live around noon Eastern. I'll probably do the same thing with just my first thoughts. It's kind of a listening party, kind of hear my first thoughts. It's just, you know, it's just fun. And then I'll just keep listening over and over and over. Like I just, and then I'll give more thoughts and I'll put them on my YouTube and I'll put them on TikTok. So in the event anyone here is interested in hearing my thoughts, you'll hear a lot of them because they'll just keep pouring out of me.
Yeah,
I saw you do a TikTok about converting some of your friends to liking Taylor and like you were asking for song suggestions and stuff. Have you been successful at converting some of your friends?
So I will say this. I have been successful in getting them more willing to listen to Taylor. I have not turned any of them into Swifties yet, but they're more willing. You know, they're like, okay, girl.
Do you think do you think it's the whole concept of like the beehive compared to Swifties thing? Is that like just ingrained? Because honestly, I never thought of that. I just thought that was those are the fan bases and you could be in either one.
I don't think so. I don't think it's the beehive thing. I do think it's more like the understanding Taylor in a moment in time piece, the like understanding the Taylor of 2009, right? And never really having updated their viewpoint of her and her music, which I think is a lot of people. You know, I think pretty much anyone who isn't a fan of Taylor's probably is thinking of Taylor 1.0. But I don't even, a part of me, I hesitate to say that because it's not like I think earlier Taylor doesn't exist anymore. You know, I think she's all of those things. She is her Speak Now era and her 1989 era and all of these things. She's still, that still resides in her, but none of us are still the same person we were 14 years ago. So I think people just haven't given her credit for evolving. And then, you know, the other thing I will say, even though you didn't ask, but it's kind of related. The other thing I will say, because a good friend of mine made the point that like he felt like Taylor Swift's music hasn't evolved, right? Like she is sort of stuck in this moment in time. And I mean, now I do think some of the singles that she's released as a result of her vault tracks are giving more like, you know, the 1989 singles or whatever. But the thing is, like, Taylor has been a dating woman, a single woman dating for her whole career, right? And I do think the feelings you feel as a single woman dating, being in a relationship, being in it, finding it, breaking up, getting back together, all of that, like that's just a very real part of her lived experience. So I think sometimes people think like, oh, she hasn't evolved because she's still writing breakup songs. It's like, but she's still going through breakups. What is she supposed to write about? You know, like I very much think she has evolved, but I think that's a thing people say because they're like, why is she still writing a breakup song? And I'm just sort of like, because she's still going through breakups. What is she, you know, what is she supposed to do?
I think that's an excuse too. I really do. And I don't know if it's that people just don't want to start listening, because I guarantee if someone starts listening to Folklore and they don't stop for the next couple albums, they will become a Swiftie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think too, a lot of her like masters and things that have happened to her in the industry, she raps and do breakup songs, right? And it's not necessarily because she doesn't want to write outright about what happened to her. It's more like she wants her music to transcend storyline. So it's like My Tears Ricochet is a perfect example. That's a divorce. That is a breakup of a 6+ year relationship. Or it's Scott Bruschetta selling off her masters and, you know, If I'm Dead to You, Why Are You at the Wake? Cursing My Name, Wishing I Stayed. Like that could go both ways. And so I think if people don't understand the storyline behind it, it's hard to not just see breakup songs. But
yeah,
I do think one thing that's interesting, and you had touched on this in the differences between Beyonce and Taylor. I think you said Beyonce is like a older sister and somebody you like look up to and is untouchable, and Taylor's more relatable and really shares kind of her vulnerabilities. Is I think that as a fan and as somebody who has like self-awareness of my own faults and stuff, like when Taylor is very open about her flaws, like it's easy to relate to, but I could see how that's also cringy and gross if you're not really a fan, if you're kind of just like watching from a distance. Like the whole Reputation album was not well received when it came out. People were like, this girl is mad and she's not doing it gracefully. But now we look back and we're like, fuck yeah, like we are mad. But and I was a big Reputation fan at first, but I also was a little scared for her because I felt like it was such a vulnerable way to lash back. It wasn't classy and tailored to like what a woman should do.
Right.
It was, I'm mad and I'm going to make a whole album about how I'm mad. And so those are things that I think if you don't know the whole story, it's a little bit easier to just kind of write off those songs as simple or just breakup songs.
Yeah,
totally.
Well, and what she's done in the music industry, I mean, look what she's done in the music industry the last, you know, 5 years, re-recording. That can't be easy. That had to be traumatic. Re-recording your work and going back through all that. And yeah, she's been successful at it, but it was a gamble.
Totally. Well, and I think that's another thing that, I mean, people are going to find any reason to hate on a woman and to hate on a successful woman. And I think you see that with successful women in many industries. But even the fact that she's re-recorded her albums and has seen so much success with the re-recordings is something I sometimes see people hating on as like, oh, she's only where she is because she re-released all her songs. Like if everyone else just re-released all their top hits, of course they'd be successful. And it's like, well, first of all, if that were true, why isn't everyone re-releasing
their let's do it.
If that were true, everybody would do it. And two, you know, it's actually her taking a really terrible moment and a really terrible experience and making the most of it, like making it better and taking her fans along on a journey. I mean, if there's anything I think any artist could really learn from Taylor, as cringy as they may think it is, like I feel like she takes her fans with her and invites them on this journey with her. And so I think that is something to be admired, but even that is something I have seen people criticize. And I just feel like, well, if you're going to criticize that, like, you're clearly willing to criticize anything about this woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tell people a lot to listen to Hoax off of Folklore, because mm-hmm. the line, you know, standing on a cliffside screaming, give me a reason, my barren land, as in those albums were her children and now they're not anymore. I mean, it's like she had six children taken from her. And mm-hmm. for her to go, I think people, that gets lost on people a lot of times, that going back through and re-recording, yeah, it sounds fun. Yeah, you're giving us cool vault tracks, but that's got to be traumatic for her in some ways.
Totally. Totally. I mean, she was a teenager when she was recording some of those albums, like, and a teenager, like, doing something really awesome that so few people get to do. So to have a memory that was, I'm sure, like, fun and a just a sense of accomplishment and all of that, to have a memory that positive turned negative, I mean, you know, it would be traumatizing, to say the least.
Yeah, and none of us want to go back and do what we were doing when we were 18 years old. I mean, she started at 16, but, like, I mean, it's not a one-to-one because, you know, it's, we were in college and she was touring the world, but I'm sure that's definitely not easy to go back in time. And I do think that's why Tortured Poets is coming out. I was a big kind of, I had a little theories around making sure that, or thinking that TS11 was going to come out before the re-records, because I felt like, I use the term re-record fatigue, where I feel like people, if we do all the re-records back to back to back, like, even Taylor's going to get a little bit exhausted of the same. So I'm glad that she did do TS11 to kind of reinvigorate the kind of creative side. And you had mentioned earlier about, like, where does she find the time? And she's actually said that when she's touring is when she does her best songwriting. Hmm. So I do think it's interesting that she released this and likely recorded a lot of it kind of in between shows, and what that might show for how great this album is going to be.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm very excited. I'm very excited for it.
Oh my gosh. This is Tortured Poets Day. Even though we're recording before, it's Tortured Poets Day.
And I am going to be very out of my element on Tortured Poets Day, because I'm going to be at a listening party. So, like, there's going to be people around me when normally I would just listen to it and, like, literally crawl in bed for, like, 3 days.
Yes.
I can't do that this time.
Yeah, it will be different. Same. Jesse and I will be together. Yeah, I was joking that I would just put my headphones in and ignore everybody, but that's how I usually listen to them. And I think it is going to be different. I can't wait, though, to, like, see other creators. Going to be with a few other creators, kind of see them react to stuff, because they may, like, catch things that I don't catch. So, KJ, if there's anything that you're like, this lyric feels like it's something, you can text us and we'll tell you if there's backstory to it.
Yeah, well, actually, I mean, you guys are going to be together. So is the first time you hear it, you're going to be hearing it in a group?
Yeah.
You're not going to get a chance to hear it for the first time just by yourself? Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
I know. I'm torn. as a creator, I feel like, you know, especially for our listeners, like, they want to see our genuine reaction. And people make really great videos of their genuine reactions. It's just a different... Totally. Different experience. But the good thing is, we'll be in South Carolina. We'll be flying home. And so I'll get, like, a ton of undivided attention on the airplane to, like, actually absorb it and figure out, like, what does this make me feel like?
Yeah. Oh, I'm excited for you guys' reaction videos. That's going to be amazing. You've got to start getting them out quick. You know, like, I feel like people want that reaction video, like, ASAP. Oh, that's going to be great.
Yeah, well, and for our listeners, we will be doing probably a drop of an album or a drop of an episode early in the week, maybe Sunday or Monday, but definitely be checking out our TikTok, because that will be probably more of our real-time reactions and things that we're able to post. And I mentioned this on the last episode, but we likely won't be able to do a reaction video on our YouTube just due to the copyrights of the music and such. So definitely make sure, if you're not listening on a podcast network, then to go to the TikTok and catch all of that. And then, of course, while you're there, go follow KJ, because she also will have reaction videos and lyrical analysis. All of that.
Yeah, you're going to get our reactions in real time, facial expressions, everything. Like, and then what we have to do is we got to edit that together real quick and put out some kind of content, I feel like, that night, you know, or the next day.
Don't overcommit me, Jesse. I know, because when I say that, I mean Anna.
I'm going to edit out that part. Like, if I'm not telling anybody, we're sending them anything tonight. Well, KJ, you also are going to the Eras Tour, aren't you?
I am. I'm going in November in Indiana. So I've got a lot of time, and I very much believe TTPD will be a part of Eras by then. Like, we'll get a TTPD set list. Hopefully. So I'm super excited, just super excited to be in that environment and to have a new album that we're going to be, that's going to be a part of it, I believe. So yeah, I can't wait.
Yep. That's awesome. The Eras Tour is definitely unlike any experience you'll ever have. It's definitely, yeah. It's amazing. I don't even know what to say about it. Like, I saw it in Chicago, and I've seen her before, and I can't. That's the most mind-blowing concert I've ever seen in my life.
Yes. Yeah. It's almost like after you get this depression feeling. So I actually came home and was telling my husband how we're going to go back. Like, we have the money to just throw at Ticketmaster and buy a bunch more tickets. Yeah, right. So then I was like, well, I need to fill this void in my soul. And so I bought a record player and a bunch of vinyls and started getting into like Taylor Swift vinyls. And then I started making TikToks about Taylor. So just prepare yourself post November. But I mean, there's rumors that when we could be having Reputation Taylor's version by then, we could have TS12 by the end of the year. Like, I'm not trying to overcommit Taylor. I'm not saying that we expect that, but there have been rumors that she might drop more. So we'll see.
I'm not ruling anything out. Yeah, I'm not ruling anything out for sure. I am. Okay, so you're going to Indy. See, I want to see her in New Orleans so bad because that's my favorite place in the whole world. I try to go there at least once a year. So that's just my city. So I'm just, I couldn't get the tickets. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not like, you know, upset because I did get to see her. And I'm very, very lucky and privileged to have gotten to see her once. But man, if that opportunity came up and it wasn't like an arm and a leg that you had to pay, then
Yeah. You had a follower reach out. Is that how you got tickets?
Yeah. She reached out and was like, I can't go anymore, but I'm willing to sell it to you at face value. And she like sent it to me via Ticketmaster before I had even paid. She was like, here it is. I was like, oh my God. So the only drawback is it's just one single ticket. So like my husband won't be able to come with me, but I have a feeling I will find community among
you will.
The Swifties there. So I've never been to a concert by myself, so this will be an all new experience, but in some ways it might be better because I might be crying the whole time. So, you know.
Yeah. You don't owe anybody an explanation. You don't need to talk about it. Yeah. You'll just like literally be with Taylor. Yeah. It is. You'll find community when you're there. And obviously people will probably recognize you honestly with your growth in the Swiftiehood and obviously everyone there. I mean, I felt like when I was at the concert, like everyone was your best friend, the people we sat near, the people around us, like it was great. So,
I mean, there's so many different outfits and people are handing out friendship bracelets. I remember the minute we got down there, my husband and I were just talking to people and handing out bracelets and getting bracelets. And, it was surreal. That doesn't happen at a normal concert, you know?
Yeah.
So
it doesn't. I've never experienced anything like that at a show. I will say when I went to Formation World Tour a couple years ago, I think I just ended up in an amazing section because it was me and like a lot of gays, and the gays were so excited and we were just like dancing and vibing in the whole thing, but we didn't have friendship bracelets. I'm excited for the friendship bracelets.
Are you going to make any?
Yeah, I'm going to figure that out. I'm going to figure out how to make friendship. I've never made a friendship bracelet, but yes. I feel like you can't show up with none. You know, I've got to like show up with some and so I can trade and all that.
So I went in May. So she started March 17th and I went May 6th, right? So it was a few weekends in, right? Maybe like 5 or 6 weekends in. And so the friendship bracelets, I didn't know about. And I was really heavily not trying to absorb Taylor content leading into the concert because I didn't want to ruin the experience. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't show up with friendship bracelets. And I don't recall seeing people with them because it was still a little early on. But yeah, some girl gave me a friendship bracelet and I thought that she thought that I had dropped it because I thought she'd picked it up off the ground or something. And when she went to hand it to me, I was like, oh no, that's not mine. She's like, no. And I was like, oh, this is for me? Oh, my God. Thank you.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, but it's funny now because it's like, you know, you look back and you're like, that really did grow and grow and grow. And now people mm-hmm. show up with like armfuls.
Right.
I remember my husband, he had these Jordans and I don't even know what number or what kind, but they had pouches on the back that zip. I don't mm-hmm. know. And he stuffed a bunch of friendship bracelets in each shoe and zipped it up. And that's like how he brought a bunch of them in. But like, yeah, no, I am completely opposite with Anna with this. Like, I have to know the set list. I have to know what's happening next. I do not want to be surprised. I need to know what's going on. So like, I would like, for any concert, I'm like that. And I don't know why I'm like that. I just, yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. I respect it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have a question too. I wrote this down ahead of this, kind of thinking about your history as part of the Beehive. Mm-hmm. So Taylor has a tendency to obviously leave clues. It's part of the fun she likes to kind of have with our fandom. And she talks about it a ton. Like, there's no denying that this is part of it. Does Beyonce ever do that? Like, is there ever like cryptic stuff? Because I even know with the solar eclipse, people are like, oh, there's a lot of eclipse imagery. Like, mm-hmm. does that fandom get really into like overreading shit that Beyonce's doing? Or is that like unique to us, the Swifties?
I think it's fairly unique to the Swifties. there are definitely people in the Beehive who feel like they're reading the signs and the clues, but I don't think Beyonce gets nearly as into that as Taylor. And I don't think most of the Beehive does either. I think most of the Beehive, we're like, okay, Beyonce's going to let us know when she's coming. We'll speculate a little bit. Like, we definitely speculated that a country album was coming because she kept wearing those goddamn country hats everywhere, or cowboy hats. But other than that, you know, we were not reading the tea leaves and the clues and the things that I see the Swifties do. I think y'all have a lock on that for real, because I don't see it anywhere else.
It's out of control. Like, you don't even know how out of control it is. And it's crazy because some people will say, you know, you'll get your people in there that are like, oh, the Swifties have definitely lost their minds. But then mm-hmm. Taylor's actually doing it. Like, there's like, yeah. She does play into it so much. And over the years, she's gotten more intricate and more intricate with it, that it's just a big game. Like,
yeah,
it's
yeah, and, she
and it's
loves
fun.
It.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know how to do it, so I don't really participate. But I like when other people do, and I'm like, oh, I can see that. Particularly when people lay it out in a way that's easy to follow. Now, there have been plenty of TikTok videos where I've had to scroll on after, like, you know, 40 seconds have gone by, and we still haven't gotten to the theory because they're still connecting 12 different things. I'm like, okay, girl, I'm not going to be able to stay in for this. But when people make it very simple, like, she did like the 1989 TV, when people put together that it might come on August 8th or whatever day of the tour, those videos, I was like, oh, that's compelling. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 8, 9, yep. 9. So I was like, yep. I can follow along. That's compelling.
That's one of the easier ones.
Yeah. I always say, if you're going to convert your fiance, or not fiance, we've been saying Beyonce so much. I literally just said your husband, or your if you're going to convert your significant other to becoming a Swiftie, I always tell people, don't start with the loony theories, because right. you will never convince somebody yeah. to be into it with the numerology and stuff. But like, I'm always like, just some simple stuff. So like that one, like, oh, of course she's going to release 1989 or announce it on 89. And mm-hmm. Yeah, she's always said like her clothes, like very cryptic with her clothes. So she'll choose things that have certain names. And then it turns out that that ends up being a song title or just mm-hmm. something. So she keeps it fun and she keeps it interesting. And then there's people like Jesse and I who like legit, it's like our hobby is like looking shit up.
And my husband's even in on it. So, KJ, I don't know if you saw this TikTok that I did a couple days ago. Maybe, yeah, I think it was like 2 days ago. But it was mm-hmm. about Beyonce, and it was about Bodyguard and how mm-hmm. I think Taylor's voice is – first of all, do you think Taylor's voice is on Bodyguard?
No, but I have seen a lot of people say that. I just feel like we would get more of a collab than that. So I've said no.
Okay, girl, I know
I'm also in the camp of maybe not.
Okay, I know she is. Okay, so I swear to God that is Taylor, okay? That is her voice. But mm-hmm. if it is, She doesn't have to be credited. And maybe the choice was not to credit her because she didn't want to take anything away from Beyonce. But I think, and I don't know if you saw this TikTok that I did, but I put it all together thinking there's something going on with the two of them. They each showed up to each other's premieres and there were hardly any other celebrities there. The whole bodyguard thing. Then it spiraled into The Bodyguard starring Whitney Houston. And I spiraled down. You have to look at, okay, watch the TikTok and tell me what you think.
Well, and Dolly Parton wrote, I Will Always Love You. And everyone's rumoring that Taylor's going to do a movie soundtrack. And she said the soundtrack of our lives recently when she got Artist of the Year. Yeah. I don't think I've seen that TikTok yet, to be honest. I'll have to go on.
I haven't seen the TikTok, but I will watch it. And yeah, I still believe Beyonce and Taylor are going to do something together.
Oh, 100.
I do believe that. That is my one and only contribution to Clownville. I believe Beyonce and Taylor are going to collab. And I did really think it would have been on Cowboy Carter. And now I'm sort of like, well, maybe it'll be on debut TV or rep TV. I don't know. But I still believe it.
Are we thinking Beyonce's Act 3 is going to be a rock album? Because I've seen a lot about that. Okay, so in the Swifty fandom.
You guys do theorize. You theorize. Like, that's a theory.
But, like, I mean, I feel like that's a theory that we've all agreed on because it became clear to us what she was doing with these three acts.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. There's a lot less what do you call it? Like math and assumptions being made. Yeah.
And I am a huge Jack White fan, right? Mm-hmm. So Jack White works with Beyonce. They've done a song in the past. It's one of my favorite songs of hers. Mm-hmm. But I think that Beyonce is going to work with Jack on this rock album in some sense. Right. And then I'm thinking the Swifties have been thinking for a while now that Taylor's going to do a rock album, like for a long time. So now I'm kind of wondering, is this going to line up to where would they ever do an album together?
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
That, whoa. I mean... I guess never say never. I'd be surprised, though. I mean, Beyonce's only ever done a joint album with Jay, and I kind of think that's the only person she would do a joint album with. But I do believe for sure they'll do a collab, and I hadn't considered a rock collab, but that would be amazing. I didn't know that Swifties thought Taylor might do a rock album, so I hadn't heard that theory.
Yeah, back in 2016, so whenever she was ending kind of the 1989 era, right, because they typically were about 2 years at that time, she dyed her hair like bleach blonde and was getting like really like dark clothes, very like 90s grungy look. And she started on tour singing some of her songs with a rock twist and like did a really good job. So I'll send you one of the videos after. But yeah, there were signs because she's always been good at like transitioning with the eras. And kind of like you said with Beyonce and the cowboy hat, like you started to kind of see like signs. And you're like, something's coming up. Something's fishy here. And so obviously with what happened with Kim and Kanye and just kind of the overexposure and just the nastiness of the media back in 2016, she would have been scheduled to release an album in 2016 if she was following what she'd always done. And so there's rumors that there's a lost album because then the next album she came out with was Reputation, which was clearly a response to what happened in 2016. So like between 1989 and Reputation, she likely was writing something or working on something. So that's the rock album theory, just to package that up. But I do think with Beyonce and Bodyguard, if Taylor is on those vocals, it would be very similar to what she did with Rihanna and Calvin Harris. This Is What You Came For, which came out in 2016, where she was under a pseudonym as a writer and nobody knew she was on the track until after. And then you can hear her vocals on that song. You're like, oh yeah, duh. So if she was even just teasing and just did the little whatever at the beginning of Bodyguard, maybe that was a clue for something bigger that to come if it is her.
Yeah, I definitely want to see a rock album out of both of them, honestly. Like, I think they, because people underestimate Taylor with her vocals, and Anna will send you some videos. And I mean, like, look what she did with Illicit Affairs on the tour. Look at how she turned that around. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, I feel like Beyonce would fucking kill a rock album, though.
Yeah. And like, she would do, I feel like, what she did with country and with house, like really make it her own. Like, we'd be expecting one thing, and then the actual totality of it would be beyond what we could even expect. So, yeah, I do. I love that theory of the two of them joining up for a rock song. That's, I think that would be amazing.
That's what my TikTok's about. Let me know what you guys think, because I don't know. I was kind of grasping, not really grasping at straws, but I just, yeah, it's different. Let me know.
Yeah. No, she goes out into Lululand a lot, the Lululand. And, but that's how she got April 19th, right? So, yeah. So every now and again you strike correctly. So that's, that's the point of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, as we kind of transition, for our listeners, reminder that we do have the TTPD draft that we've been doing over the last several episodes, where Jesse and I have been picking songs blindly. Obviously, we know the track number and the track name, so that's all we're going off of is vibes around the tracks. And so we've got two teams of 10 songs. Definitely go to tspodnetwork.com/draft if you want to see our full list. But while KJ is here, I wanted to get your vote first, because obviously our listeners can go and vote online, but I sent KJ the final track list of what we had chosen. So looking at Jesse's team and my team, who do you think will win?
Okay. Yeah. It's funny to have to do this without having heard the songs and just based on, the names of the tracks. But I will say, I think I'm going to give it to Jesse.
I know.
And this is why. First of all, Jesse's has Fortnite with Post Malone. I did not even care about Post Malone, okay, until Beyonce put him on her album. And I thought he sounded so good and had like the exact right vibe. So now that's telling me he can come into a song and give the vibe that that artist wants for that song. So now that's telling me that might be a good one. Okay, so that's number one. Then Jesse also has the title track, The Tortured Poets Department. And I just feel like historically the title track is a banger. I feel like Red was a banger. I feel like Lover was a banger. Now, Reputation didn't have a title track, but I feel like the songs where she said the word Reputation were bangers. Yeah. So Midnight Rain on Midnight was a banger. So I feel like title track is giving. And then also the bonus tracks, I feel like the Albatross. I saw someone do a TikTok about what the Albatross means in terms of like kind of being a tortured poet who is celebrated, but then also not really able to, I don't know, like be their real selves and in a lot of ways kind of be treated cruelly by the public. I'm someone did a TikTok on it. Maybe you guys have spoken about it too.
Yeah.
The point is, it feels like it's going to be very important. So
yes,
those were the tracks that really made me think that that might be the winner for me.
Yeah. I won't even say I'm offended, because after I sent you the list and was looking at them at like a 10,000 foot view, I was like, holy shit, her team is better than mine. Like, I'm like, why did it come out though and yours be better? You know, we never know.
You know, I've got LOLM, L-O-M-L-L, LOLM. Yeah, LOLM. So we're really betting that that's going to be a good one. So.
Yeah. The other thing that kind of like, for me, I'm not a huge Florence and the Machine fan. I kind of like their songs more than I like them. Like when people cover their songs, I'm like, I like that song. Mm-hmm. And when they do it, I'm like, I don't love it. So that was the other thing, because that song is on your list and it has 3 exclamation points. I don't know. Florida with 3 exclamation points is doing too much for me.
Look, here's the bets I took, KJ, though, is I agree with you. I don't know what the fuck LOLM is, and I don't know what Florida is about to be. Like, what is this song? So I'm like, I just took bets that these are going to be like the surprise ones, because I agree with you. Florence and the Machine sounds somebody that I like listen to often, but I know it's female rage, and like we were talking about, like the woman scorned, I feel like that song's going to be angry, and I love a good, like, I feel like a good angry woman song could really hit.
That's true.
I do think that's going to be about her Tampa shows, and those are the shows right after she announced the breakup was in Florida. So that's totally what I think it is going to be about.
Well, okay. Our listeners will know. Well, KJ, we will stay around, so the podcast episode's not over yet. But KJ, we will dismiss you, because I know you have a hard stop. And this has been so much fun. We'll have to have you back on again. As a reminder, guys, I am_KJ Miller is her handle. And that's your YouTube handle as well, correct?
It's my TikTok and YouTube without the underscore. But if you type it in, you'll find it.
Perfect. Perfect. And then also Two Queens, Two Crowns podcast. Pause right now. Go search it. Hit that follow button. Finish out our podcast and then go listen to some of that this weekend as you're kind of taking breaks between TTPD songs.
Yeah.
So yeah, we appreciate you coming on, and this definitely will not be the last time we have you on TSPN.
Thank you guys. This has been so much fun. Thank you for having me, and happy Taylor Day.
Happy Poets Day. All right, guys. So as we wrap up, thank you for joining us today. I know we wish we could just give you all of our reactions in real time, but we wanted to make sure we still had a healthy, fun episode for you. So definitely stay tuned. We will be dropping one-off videos on our TikToks. We will absolutely be doing an episode where we talk about our reactions. That will go on both YouTube and the podcast networks. And then if we can do like some type of edits with our reactions and it makes sense for a listen only situation, like a Spotify, Apple podcast, we'll drop that. But obviously until we capture the content, it's going to be hard for us to understand like what the best channels are, but we are going to be hot and active, hip hop and happening here this weekend. We are so excited for Tortured Poets Department. So we hope that you are well, that you are not mentally in the bathtub with the shower on, fully clothed, crying like it's the end of the world. We don't want that for you. But if that's what we have and that's what Taylor has served for us on this April 19th, then God willing, that's what we're going to do.
That's where I'll be.
But Jesse's already predicting it. So yeah, as always, guys, leave us comments, do the 5 stars, follow us on YouTube, all of the things that help us grow. This is such an exciting time to be a Swiftie, and we appreciate each and every one of you for listening. And as always, we love you guys. Bye.